Blog Talk Radio.
Oh my God, that's too funny. I love that song. Hey, welcome to Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio. Today's a special show. I have a very good friend of mine that is in Louisiana and is an artist. And his subject of painting of lately, or what he has done, has mostly been monkeys. So he chose that, and Three Wise Monkeys is the name of it. I'm going to have him tell you a little bit more. And I noticed some of his other art lately, some scenery stuff. I want to ask him about that too. But He's calling me live, and let's bring him on again. I opened the chat room, guys. If you want to go into the chat room's open. And if you want to call us, if you have questions for myself or for John, the number is 347-677-1036, and the show will be available afterwards as a podcast on Blog Talk Radio, Red Velvet Media, or on iTunes under the name Red Velvet Media. Make sure to check us out on Facebook under the name of Red Velvet Media, and like us and follow what our shows are going to be. With that, let me bring him on. John, are you there?
Kwasadi, Holly. Como se va? That's my Cajun welcome to everybody from Cajun land who might be listening.
I love it when you go, I'll be there, baby.
Everybody's baby down here.
I know. It's great. So welcome, John. Welcome, John, to the show. And John paints. First of all, John, what's your website's address?
It's John D. Perrett, that's spelled Perrett.com.
Okay. And you'll see pictures of monkeys. And, you know, I went into onto your website, and I saw the little history thing about the monkeys and the Chinese philosophy and stuff like that. That was very interesting. But, you know, let's talk about, when did you know you first wanted to start painting?
Well, Holly, I've always drawn my whole life, and mm-hmm. I through school, let's face it, I'm an artist, so I despise school. I hated it. And although I enjoyed athletics. So when I graduated high school, I was lucky enough to get a basketball scholarship to go to college. And I knew that the only chance I had of passing school and continuing to play basketball was to study art, because that was the only thing I liked to do other than sports. And mm-hmm. so that's kind of how, like the answer to your question is I've always drawn my whole life, but then I kind of developed it and honed my skills through college.
How did you, were anybody in your family artistic at all or any of that?
No, you know, it's funny, Holly, I'm one of 10 children. And I'm the only one that got that job. And I always said that I believe it was because I was punished so often that when I had to go to my room and I was by myself, I had to find something to do. So I would start drawing.
You being bad, never. I've known you for how
there.
Long? How many years have I known you now? About, what, 12 years?
Oh, yeah, I guess. Before Katrina. So Katrina's been 5 years, so I'm guessing at least 7.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, the subject of your painting, which are monkeys. And you are known as the Monkey Man.
Actually, they are monkeys, but it's hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. That's the
okay, so yeah,
the whole
that's what I wanted you to tell everybody about. Okay, yeah. Tell everyone
well,
a little bit more about that.
Well, I just incorporate that in all of my paintings. Somehow, it might be the total focal point of the painting, or they might be hidden somewhere in it, but basically, my commercial success has been that that genre of just painting, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And
okay.
that came about simply by the grace of a greater being, because when I got back into my painting, which mm-hmm. after college I worked in the restaurant business for 20 years, and I continued to draw, but I hadn't painted in over 20 years because it took so much time to set up and take down. But when I got back into my painting, the first painting I did, just to get, you know, my feet back into it and get the swing of things, I painted the three monkeys, the three wise monkeys, as I grew up learning the name of them. And somebody saw them and said, hey, would you paint me some of those? And now 9 mm-hmm. years later, I'm still painting monkeys, and everybody in New Orleans calls me the Monkey Man. They don't even know my
yeah.
name.
Yeah, no. And you know what? And you put them in different situations. I mean, if you go onto the website, guys, you'll see them in the French Quarter. You'll see them on – oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. Yesterday, I posted a picture of one of the monkeys that were riding the trolley, and the trolley said 9/11 on the front. And it was funny because a friend of mine had mentioned to me, Why are they riding a trolley that says 911 on the front? Was that just the name of the number of the trolley at the time, or what?
Well, actually, I started painting that number after Katrina, but it is a true number of a trolley.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Tell me about Katrina and how that affected you, and tell me, I mean, because, you know, I had friends, besides just yourself, I had a friend who, I got her live on a radio show one time when Katrina had just happened and what was really happening down there with all the stuff coming in and being shipped in and a lot of the gangs and how they were taking stuff and how people were cut off. How did Katrina affect you? And, I mean, because I know you were down in the French Quarter for a while. You had an art studio down there.
I'm still in the French Quarter, and I'll tell you, Katrina affected me tremendously, not
mm-hmm.
necessarily in a total negative way, but it really changed my outlook on life. And
mm-hmm.
I had, first of all, once again, by the grace of God, I lived in Lafayette, so Katrina went to the east of us, and Rita went to the west of us.
Uh-huh.
When Katrina hit, the next day, I brought my boat. I have a little bitty bateau, which is another Cajun term for a small boat. And
I went
down to New Orleans and helped people out. So the next day, I was there transporting people from the flooded areas over to I-10 when it came out of the water, and then they had a drop-off station and a first aid station. And anyway, so I was doing that the day after the storm. Also, I had a family from Columbia staying at my house who was an artist from New Orleans with his wife and daughter. And when he called me to say, hey, can we come? I said, of course you can. He goes, look, I have another family that's following us. They don't have anywhere to go. I said, it doesn't matter. Bring them on. The more the merrier. Because I'm thinking we're going to have a hurricane party in Lafayette, have eat, drink, marry, and the next day or two, everybody's leaving.
Uh-huh.
Well, the other family ends up being six people from Nicaragua. It was a grandfather with Alzheimer's, a grandmother, two girls, and a two ladies and a daughter. Well, they stayed in one bedroom for 6 weeks at my house. So it was really I don't want to say life altering, but you really appreciate
life. Now, when something like that happens, you start to appreciate life more. Bless your heart.
Absolutely. It was a strange deal. But at the same time, you know, Stephen Domang, who owns a restaurant over there, he flew myself and three other artists from New Orleans to do a show out at his restaurant to help us out. We did
Stephen's
shows
been on
in
our
Texas,
show, by the way.
We called ourselves
Cajun
the band.
Show.
Actually,
yeah.
We called ourselves Artist in Exile. And we always had the bands together. And we went on the road and met some great people. And, you know, all of that came through because of what happened at Katrina. So that was, you know, it was a lot of things. A lot of things happened. We were I was very involved with the first time you could go into New Orleans, the first time you could go into Metairie, the first time you could go into the Lower Ninth Ward. I was there every time. Myself and the two artists that went to California were the first artists back on Jackson Square after the hurricane. And we weren't there to paint and try to sell our art. We were just there to send a message to say, hey, you can't keep us down. We're here.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's trippy. We have a call on 623. Do you know anyone that's calling in?
Not to my knowledge.
Let me see who's on 623, and then I want to continue. I have a bunch of stuff to talk to you about. Hi, 623, you're on the air. Who's this? 623, you're on the air. Who's this? Okay, I'll just mute them. I'll mute them. They just maybe are calling in to just listen to the show.
Okay.
623, I muted you. If anybody else wants to call in and wants to talk to John or wants to talk to me, 347-677-1036. The chat room is open. If you have any questions for John, please feel free to type them in there. And John, it's John Perrett, P-E-R-R-E-T, and that is .com, right?
Yeah, John D.
John D. Perrett. Don't forget that D, yeah. Hey, you know, so I noticed, and it really blew me away when I went on there, and I saw some of your other art, because I've always known you to do the three wise monkeys, because I have one of your baseball hats, actually, with the three orange monkeys.
I forgot about those. That's been a while.
I do. I have one. Actually have two of them.
Good.
I was really surprised to see that you did other art besides just the monkeys. You're starting to get into some landscape stuff. Tell me about that.
Well, actually, that stuff that that I'm driven to, it's just something that when it hits me, the inspiration, I just want to paint it. And all of those landscapes you see are actually swamp scenes or something to do with water or South Louisiana. And actually, all of those, I've actually been to those places. All of those places are, I don't want to say they're plain air because only one of them did I paint actually while I was on location. But all of them were places I've been to, I photographed and took the picture because it was something at the moment when I saw it at that, what you see there is what I photographed that I was like, I want to capture this moment. And those are, actually, that's the only place you can see them is on the website because at this point, I don't want to sell them. I'm doing them personal. Maybe it's selfish, but, in my studio, I have I don't want to say a large collection, but I probably have 20 or so paintings that I've done that I'm proud of that I've done for me personally. And maybe one day I want to sell them, but at this time, I just like looking at them.
Yeah, no. Hey, do you have your art in any galleries that people can go look at it?
No, I do not. I have my studio in Lafayette, Louisiana, and I show in the French Quarter just about every weekend. I'm located directly across the street from Café du Monde, which is where you get the coffee and the beignet donuts. I'm right there on that corner.
Oh, my God, you're killing me.
Every Saturday morning, I'm drinking coffee and having my beignets.
So if anybody wants to come and see your work and they're in Louisiana in the French Quarter, where can they find you? And what days? On the weekends, right?
Yeah, it's just Saturday and Sunday. I've, like I said, I live in Lafayette, which is about 134 miles from my studio to the French Quarter. And then 3 days a week I spend up in North Louisiana. So I'm really on the road and the best way to contact me, reach me, or anything would be through my website. I believe I have my phone number on it.
Your phone number is not
in New Orleans
on
the French Quarter on the weekends. Like I said, directly across the street from Café du Monde. And if anybody's really looking for me, all you got to do is ask any artist there in the French Quarter. Is the Monkey Man here, and they'll direct you where I'm located.
I have one of your pictures from a festival that we did, the Bayou Bash, which Stephen was involved in. I have one of those pictures framed that you did, and you actually put my name on the accordion.
Man, Holly, you must have been important when I met you, huh? You got a painting and you got two of my hats? What's up with that? I can't remember all that.
Oh, come on. We had so much fun. That was such a fun day. If you guys go on to the Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio page, you'll see the picture flash. That was a picture of John and I together at that event that time. Oh, my gosh, that was so much fun. And those pictures, they're numbered pictures. And on the very, he said, he was just kidding with me. He says, you know what, I'm going to do something really special for you. And his New Orleans draw was, and you put my name on the accordion. I couldn't believe it. It's so cool. I have it. And for
that's
all those 560 people that have
things,
them.
Hidden messages, and, there's so much more that's in a painting than what you first see. And the more you look at them, the more you learn, the more you understand, the more you understand where that artist is coming from.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Tell me, how was it for you from being a restaurateur to becoming a painter?
I used to tell everybody, Holly, I'm living proof there's life after death. Because it was, I went from working my behind off constantly, because I even owned restaurants, to doing what I absolutely love with a passion. And the best thing about it is all of the decisions were made for me. I didn't have to go try to convince anybody that I was going to leave my restaurant career and I was going to become an artist and I was only going to paint monkeys. They would have tried to institutionalize me if that would have been the plan. But it wasn't, and it just happened. And that's, you know, everybody tells me, man, you're so lucky to follow your passion and do what you love, and that is what I'm doing. But I'm also the luckiest person in the world because I didn't have to make those decisions. They were all made for me. And I also say that God knew what he was doing, because if you let me be an artist at 18 years old, I'd probably be dead right now.
Yeah, no. I hear you. And, you know, it's really funny was somebody actually said to me that in some of the temples in China
actually, it's Japan where all that started. Nikko, Japan.
Okay, Japan. Okay. All right, Japan. I'm wrong here. And Eduardo, if you're listening, I want to give a shout out to you because he pointed out something. He said it's really funny because he saw the three wise monkeys, but there was a fourth one, and we didn't know what the fourth one stood for. So.
Well, that's one that usually has his hands across his crotch, and it's called Do No Evil, and I don't have nothing to do with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's actually three is how it started. There was not a fourth one. The fourth one probably developed in New Orleans.
Aha. Okay.
And actually,
it's
also Do No Evil, and then sometimes they have a monkey, a fourth one, that's just frown and saying, have no fun. Hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, have no fun. So, and I assume those were started in New Orleans. I could be wrong.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because he brought that to my attention, and I was like, "Wow, that's pretty interesting," you know, because I didn't know. I had no idea.
Yeah, no, it was actually the beginning was the three monkeys, and like you said, there's a history of it, and it's just a little short one page thing that you can look up on my website and see how it started. I mean, it was no magic; nobody knows who did it. And look what happened.
Can you tell us the story?
Excuse me, it happened. She pops up one night over a stable, and now 400 years later, the whole world knows about it. Matter of fact, I'll tell you an interesting story. About 3 weeks ago, I was in New Orleans, and a lady came up to me, and we were talking about my artwork, and she was discussing buying one. And then through conversation, it came out that Mahatma Gandhi, when he died, only had three possessions in his life. To him at the time of his death, because he had given up everything for
people,
you know, kind of the Mother Teresa deal. And anyway, when he died, he had glasses, his robe, and his sandals. And some very wealthy, I think Pakistani, bought all that stuff and sent it back to, I guess, India or wherever the country is where it belonged. And then his personal possessions were an extra pair of glasses, a book, and a statue of the three wise monkeys. So this
no
lady
way.
Telling me this story, and I said, you know, I might have heard that, but I forgot about it. And then she proceeded to tell me that she was Mahatma Gandhi's granddaughter.
No
And she
way.
Bought a painting from me, and I was totally amazed.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a really cool story.
That's when you know you're doing what you're supposed to be doing when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Which painting did she buy?
I can't even remember. I think I do have a photograph. I do have a photograph of her, but I can't remember which painting
that
it is.
That is so cool. That's such a great story.
Well, I mean,
but you know,
yeah,
you know
it's real because I can't think that.
Eva
is
that?
So
no, I know. Yeah, no. Tell us, for people that aren't able to go to the website, tell us a little bit about the legend of the three wise monkeys in Japan.
Well,
you know
like
that.
I was saying, one day, I don't know if it was the army or whatever, and this is hundreds of years ago in Japan, somebody went to the stables to feed the horses or whatever they do to horses back then, and above the entrance to the stables, somebody carved, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. And, I mean, this is not a big carving at all. You know, you would think this is the first one ever in the world. It might be some big elaborate thing. But it wasn't. It was just this little tiny deal above the stables. And supposedly it was to mean good luck and protection for the emperor. And from that point on, it's just grown worldwide slowly but surely. I mean, there are societies around. I know there's one in the United States because I've talked to people in New Orleans about it who collect hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil, and get together annually just to talk about the collections and all of that stuff.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. I was amazed when I started reading a little bit about it because, you know, since you and I have become friends, you know, I take Japanese swordsmanship, and which is called Yaido.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I didn't know anything about the monkeys in the Japanese temples or anything like that. That's just so interesting. And like I said, my friend Eduardo had brought up, you know, that he had seen a fourth monkey and he didn't know what that stood for. So, yeah, that's very interesting. You know, and you know, you choosing to do that, you know, is such a special thing because you have such a message to send to everyone in the world.
That's my biggest thing is I just want to spread that message. And
mm-hmm.
it's a good message. It can't be spun or twisted into anything negative. However, I've had lots of people look at my artwork and read lots of things into it, which
mm-hmm.
I think is great to make people think and to make people, you can see a lot of what's in people's hearts when they interpret a painting of yours. And, you know, all I'm trying to do is spread a good message, and they have interpreted them into a lot of ways, some negative, some not so. But you can learn a lot about what's in somebody else's heart by what they see in your art.
Yeah, no. I agree with you on that one. Because, you know, I'm up in Sonoma, and this is like basically a destination place people come to on the weekends, and we have a lot of vineyards and art galleries and stuff like that here. And I've noticed a lot of the art galleries that are up here are mainly, you know, landscapes of the wine country because people want to buy something. They want to take it back with them, a memoir of what the wine country looks like. Because, I mean, it's basically, it looks like Tuscany, you know. I mean,
yeah,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, I've been there.
You
it's
know?
Beautiful. And like you
yeah.
said, most of the paintings they show might be the wine country.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of, you know, that's like me. Most of the stuff that other than my landscapes,
mm-hmm.
my Katrina doors are on there, which we can talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
But we, you know, I paint mostly New Orleans scenes because that's what people want when they're in New Orleans. And like I said,
mm-hmm.
I have stuff that I really enjoy painting, more Cajun themed and more of the joie de vivre, which is the joy of life stuff that we do down here. But I don't bring it to New Orleans because it doesn't seem as accepted there. And it's stuff that, like I said, I enjoy. I enjoy looking at it, and I don't care if I never sell it.
Yeah, I know. There, on your site, there's one thing that I said, oh, my gosh, I want that, was the Guadalupe. And you said that was on a door. Tell me
yeah,
about that.
Yeah, that was on a, actually, that was on a cabinet door. Some
mm-hmm.
one of the artists in New Orleans came walking by one day setting up, and he had this cabinet door, and it was really, I bet you that door weighs 10 pounds. It's solid mahogany. And
mm-hmm.
When I saw it, I bought it from him, just a plain door, because I knew it would be perfect to paint the raised panel, leave the natural mahogany around it, and it would look like it's framed.
Yeah.
And, I just didn't know what I was going to paint on it. And, you know, that's
Have
one thing.
Have you just got Guadalupe?
I wait for the ideas to hit me to go off like a light
uh-huh.
bulb. And as long as I have
uh-huh.
the idea, I can take it from there and create something. And like I tell everybody, I don't know where I'm going, but I'll know when I get there.
Right. How did you choose Guadalupe?
Just the light went
off.
I mean, that's the beauty. I didn't sit there and say I wanted to do that. It just, you know, something told me, hey, that's what needs to be there. So that's how it happened.
That's like, yep. That's exactly like what I tell a lot of the musicians tell me. They tell me, oh, well, this isn't like how I write my songs. I don't sit down and say, okay, today I'm going to write a song. It's like whatever inspires you and whatever moves you at that moment. It's
exactly.
like for me.
It's all about
yeah,
the
exactly. Now, I have to tell everyone that Guadalupe is so beautiful. That was the first thing I said to you. I said, John, I want the Guadalupe. I said, hey, he said, that's on our door. And I said, oh, my gosh. Because I have this real huge affinity with Guadalupe. I have
I did,
a lot
you know,
of...
I didn't until I painted her. And actually,
uh-huh.
the first time I painted her was on one of the Katrina doors. And
yeah.
It's like I said, it's weird how things happen. But... a nun came up to me in New Orleans, and it was on a Katrina door. And when I picked Between the Doors for the people listening, these are doors that I went and got out of the Lower Ninth Ward of New Orleans right after the flood, as soon as you could get back in. And there is a little icon on my webpage that says Katrina Doors, and you can check them out. But what I did was I tried to get the ones that had all of the markings, that orange X on the door, which tells you that a first responder had been to that house, and every house in the flood in New Orleans, every one of them had that on it. And it says who checked the house, the date it was checked, and if there were any bodies or hazards in that house. So what I did was, man, when I was going through the Ninth Ward looking at all that destruction, it was like, I was like, there's got to be a better way to look at this. And right when I said that, there was a door on the side of the road. I picked it up, and once again, I painted it, and somebody bought it. So I went back the next day from Lafayette to New Orleans. I brought a photographer with me, and I brought a 18-foot trailer. And I went and got as many doors as I could from the houses, and I documented me getting them because I knew it was going to be a piece of history in the future. Mm-hmm. And anyway, I paint one door at a time. All those doors you see on my website are sold, and I've shipped them all over the country, from Colorado to Connecticut to Pennsylvania to Chicago, New York. They're everywhere. I don't want to say everywhere, but anyway, I just do one at a time, and then as I sell it, I'll paint another one. So like I used to tell the people, if you like my art, great. If not, you're still getting a piece of history. And I give them a few pages of photographs that they can keep with the door, to where they can, you know, prove that where it came from 20 years from now.
Yeah. How do you decide what you're going to paint on the door?
Which door?
The doors that you...
I just do one at a time. I have one right now that's done. The one I have now, I have no idea what my next one's going to be. I just paint the one I have now. Is I show it in New Orleans, and then once, you know, I sell that one, then I'll sit down and stare at the other one until the inspiration hits me.
Yeah, what do you find inspires you most, Sean?
I really don't know. That's a good question. I like the, this is so probably trivial and easy to say, but I think beauty does, you know, because especially when it comes to my landscapes, I'm just driving or in my boat somewhere, and then all of a sudden it'll stop me. You know, I'm not thinking about that at the moment, but all of a sudden something stops me in my tracks and says, this is what your next painting is going to be.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's nothing wrong with that, because honestly, it's like, you know, from that Rolling Stones song, not the one we opened up with, but Ruby Tuesday, lose your dreams and you will lose your mind, you know? Basically, you know, you're struck by something and you remember it, and there's nothing wrong with that, and it wasn't stupid or anything, because that is exactly, it's like the dreamers and the people that really, you know, that can see beyond what is really there, is what's really going to do. What kind of message do you hope to bring through most of your art, besides see no evil, hear no evil, speak no evil?
I really, you know, I don't want to, I don't know if I have a really permanent message, but I'll tell you one thing that I really like that would be cool that people would remember is Mother Teresa said, every act of kindness is an act of peace, whether you want it to be or not. So I think that's pretty cool, because I'm trying to, you know, my art is really, it tries to be an act of kindness. And if somebody sees it that way, then, you know, if they see it that way, whether, you know, that to me has been a successful painting.
Wow. So is Mother Teresa a mentor to you?
Anybody that has that much, love in their heart, willing to give up everything for others, is something that, you know, we can't, you know, I don't even think we aspire to do that. We can't even, we're just, you know, commoners. And for somebody that in our day and age that we could have talked to and touched, had the ability to do that, is just, it's beyond my realm of thinking.
No, well, you know what? I totally understand what you're saying, and I think that if we want to, talking about spirituality and stuff like that, I know that you've had a reawakening in yourself. You want to tell me a little bit more about that and share that with our listeners?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just, I don't know. I'm not, you know, I've always been, I think that's why I am an artist, and that's why I do what I do, is because I've always marched to a different drummer, and I was blessed to have enough self-confidence to do what I wanted to do and not worry about what other people thought. And that
that's
probably,
so awesome.
You know, that to me is a blessing to have, because most of the people in the world, you know, would never want to follow their passion, especially if they were a professional for 20 years and something else. You know, everybody wants to have one foot on shore and one foot in the boat.
Mm-hmm.
But I never was worried about the repercussions of my decisions. I always made my decisions, you know, what I thought was what I wanted to do at that time.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so
I'll tell you,
I think that
people that
probably
have never met you.
Do
yeah,
I?
You're, for people that have never met you,
mm-hmm.
and I've met you, he's a very lovable person, very, you're a very bright person, and you have a lot in you to share with the world, and I think that that's so beautiful that you're able to share it through your painting, through your talking, and
you,
also...
When you say that, I'll tell you a funny story, short story.
Yeah,
I stayed
me.
Like I said, I hated school, I wasn't really that good in it, and... I used to always say the teacher called home so often and talked to my dad, I thought they were having an affair. But anyway, when my mother would go to the parent-teacher conferences, you know, the teacher
uh-huh.
would corner her and say, you know, he is just so hyperactive. He can't sit still. He can't shut up in class. He won't do homework. And my mother would sit there and listen to everything. And when the teacher finished talking, she would just look at her. And my mother, I've never heard my mother raise her voice or cuss in my life. She would just look at the teacher and say, but isn't he easy to love? And I just
Aww.
Was like, oh, my goodness.
And you are. You are easy to love.
Well,
you are.
That's what my mom says.
Well, you are. You definitely are. Hey, were you born and raised in Louisiana, weren't you?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Lafayette. I'm number 8 of 10 kids.
That's, I know you told me, 10 kids, that's insane. Do you talk to all your brother? Do you, how many brothers do you
six
have?
6 boys, 4 girls.
Wow, do you all talk?
Oh, yeah. All of us are still in Lafayette except for one. He's right outside of Dallas.
Anybody else in the industry of entertainment or art or writing or anything?
No, I do have an older sister that, as a matter of fact, my eldest sister likes to write. And as a matter of fact, she actually wrote a children's book about the monkeys that she's been begging me for 5 years to illustrate. And I'm, like I said, I'm just waiting for the inspiration. I have it. It's written. It's awesome. And I just...
Well, here's your inspiration. I think you should do it. That would be so cool.
Oh, well.
You know, I'm writing a children's book, too, right now.
Wow.
I didn't even share that with you. We haven't talked about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm writing a children's book. It's about dreams.
Wow. I met a guy.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember his name, man. Come on. I just met him last weekend in New Orleans. And he writes, he's a doctor. Oh, man. Anyway, he writes children's books. And we talked a lot. It's funny, you know. I mean,
Dr. Seuss.
It's funny how there's an energy that people give off that no. How to talk and, you know, who to talk to or what draws you to certain people. But for some reason, we ended up getting together and just talking about children's books. I wish I could remember his name.
What's a typical day like for you, John?
Ooh, yeah. It depends which day of the week it is.
Hard
days, I'm a morning riser. I'm an early riser, which I've always liked to do my whole life. I like to get up early. I like to paint early. I like to paint early in the morning because as the day wears on, more and more my phone starts ringing. People start visiting, wanting to come by and doing things. So I get most stuff accomplished early in the morning. Saturday and Sunday, you know, we get in New Orleans, we have to get there at 4:30 in the morning. It's first come, first serve to where you're located.
Wow.
And I've been on that corner right there at Cafe Du Monde since Katrina. And just to stay there, I get there at 4:30 in the morning, and I stay till 5 in the afternoon. So, but I paint the whole time I'm out there, too. because that, you know, finding time to paint is, now that I work part-time, you know, I was telling you earlier before the show, 3 days a week I work part-time in North Louisiana. I live in South Central Louisiana and drive to New Orleans on the weekends. So I'm a,
wow.
I got a full schedule. I'm always on the go, but I love it, and I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know what? You just are just a very lovely man. I mean, very, very courteous.
Are you, Holly?
No, I'm not. No, actually, I'm drinking water.
Oh, okay. All right.
No, I'm drinking water. I don't drink.
Kidding with you.
I don't drink. Believe it or not, I live in wine country, and I don't friggin' drink.
Oh, man,
that's funny.
I love wine. I'm a wino.
I know.
That's for another story.
There,
another
know
show.
What? I'll drink champagne. But that, you know, I mean, because the champagne up here, oh, my gosh. I mean, there are some real, but there are some really good wines, too, especially living on a vineyard, because I'm right on a vineyard. There are amazing, I mean, the champagne grapes and stuff like that. The wine up here, the wine industry last year really suffered really bad because there really wasn't that many, very many hot days. But this year, I think we're going to have a good year. We had a lot of rain, and then we're just now starting to get into some warmer weather. But thank God it hasn't gotten into the 90 plus, you know, for way too for a long period of time, which is usually what the vineyard.
So it's 100 over here
want.
Right now, just in case you're wondering.
You what?
It's 100 degrees right now over here.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm serious.
Wow.
It's 102 Tuesday or Monday.
Wow.
Yep.
So you get the hot weather too. Hey, so like, what do you like to do besides painting? What else do you do? I know you enjoy music a lot.
I like music, and I love to fish. I love to go into the Atchafalaya Basin. I don't know if any of your listeners have watched The Swamp People and Shoot 'Em, Elizabeth. But anyway, that all of those guys where you see them on boats, I've been there. I love to go out there, and I love to fish. I like to fish and be out in nature.
Wow. That's so cool. That is just so cool. Has Stephen been to visit you lately? I was going to actually call him up on the phone while we were on the air and see where he's at. I wonder
that
what
ought to make
on.
For an interesting conversation.
Oh my God!
I haven't seen him.
Let's call him. What's his phone number? Wait. I have it here. Best number to reach him at. Hold on a minute. We'll call him. Hold on a second. Yeah.
You got it?
He won't believe. He'll be like, oh, my God, you've got to be kidding. I've got both of you on the air?
I know. You
I've
got
come
two pages with a country between us. That could be,
yeah.
That could be an interesting conversation.
You know who I've talked to a lot, too, is Lisa Zydeco. Hold on a minute. Zydeco, yeah, we, you know, the New Orleans life, it's just so fun. Okay, hold on. Let me try this number that I have and see if it works. Let's see if he answers. He's probably on one of his trucks somewhere.
No telling. No telling with that
let's
boy.
Let's see if this works. Hold on.
All right.
It's dialing. Okay, let's see if he picks up. It'd be funny if he does.
That would be funny.
He's probably either on a food truck or he's sleeping.
Oh, he's getting ready.
Wait a minute. I got another number.
Steven, I can't come to the phone. Leave your name and number. I'll call you when I can. Hello.
Way to go.
Oh, my God.
At the tone,
Steven,
please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Steven, it's Holly and John. We're on the air live. We're calling you. If you get this message, call us 347-677-1036. We want to talk. Call us. We're on the air live now. Bye. Anyway,
hello?
That's funny. What? Are you there?
Holly.
What?
Are you talking to me, Holly, or Steven?
I'm talking to you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to Steven.
I did. No, I left Steven a message. I left him a message on his
phone. Oh, I thought he had called you back. I'm sorry. I thought I heard you say something. So I thought
If he picked up and he was live, we would have had him on the air. But you and I met because you did one of the events that I did, which was the Bayou Bash. That was so much fun. Crawfish pie and all the Zydeco music, and then
that was great.
Out
I love that. That was that was where I met you, and that was a festival. We do that every weekend. I mean, in New Orleans, especially. You know, that's South Louisiana. We love life.
Yeah. So, do you how would you define life in Louisiana compared to other places in the world?
Very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Number one is we love life, and I'm sure everybody does, but mm-hmm. the way I describe life down here in South Louisiana is we love everybody from the moment we meet them until they give us a reason not to love them.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like the rest of the world has a shield up, and you have to work your way into that shield for them to share and love you. But in South Louisiana, you can come down here. I won't know you for 30 seconds and invite you somewhere. Let's go eat, come to my house, eat, drink, be merry. And until there's something there for me not to want to be friends with you, that, to me, is what I think the difference is. We just have open arms and open hearts to any stranger.
That's why I've spent so much time there. I love New Orleans. And I think it's courageous of you for everything that you've done with Katrina. Did you guys know that was going to happen? I mean, were they? What's the real deal on that? I mean, I only heard one or two different stories from people that I knew. I have a friend of mine, Jennifer, that lives there. What did you guys know about Katrina?
In a nutshell, it was just like the big one that's going to come to Los Angeles. Everybody knows. Everybody's been talking about it for the last 100 years. That eventually Los Angeles or San Francisco is going to suffer from a huge...
I don't even want to hear about that.
Well, I don't wish it on anybody, but that's
no,
just
I know. I, that,
and
gets
you know, we
here.
Always had to put up with the hurricane. So when we've been through so many of them and nothing has happened, those people chose to stay there because it's just like the boy crying wolf, you know, hey, well, the wolf's coming, and he never comes. So finally, everybody said, I'm not trying to get in that traffic, I'm not doing this, I'm not prepared to leave, and I'm not leaving. And, you know, then all hell broke loose. So that's what it did in a nutshell. They just didn't believe it was going to happen. And the sad thing about it is, and I'm not blaming any fault on anyone, but it wasn't the wind that caused that. It was the levees breaking, you know, and the levees the day after the storm, not during the storm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just the way it goes, you know. I mean, nobody ever believed it was going to happen because we've been through so many before.
Yeah. Now, I know they did a lot of rebuilding there, and
it's amazing.
You guys are kind of starting
to control
yourself.
Mother Nature. It's amazing. We spent billions of dollars, but, you know, I mean, when Mother Nature...
That's amazing how you just help people, too, you know. I mean, I know you have such an open heart, and the fact that you had people living in your house and you were helping them and stuff. There's just a sense of contentment and people all willing to help each other. As in California, the part I'm in, Northern California, we have more of that in a sense, but when you get it more into Southern California and you get into other areas of California, everybody's a little skeptical, and
And I'm not trying to hammer it because it's a generality, but you know, one of the things that I've always heard, and I've been to Southern California several times, but
I know
the thing that I've always heard is the way to explain it best is go there during Christmas or a major holiday. And it empties out because nobody has roots there. Everybody goes there to live the peak of their life. You know, it's fun. It's the weather's awesome. I mean, you can't ask for better weather. And But when it comes time for a true family get-together, most, I don't want to say most, like I said, it's a generality, but that's how it was explained to me, where people leave there to go home. So it's not truly
they
home.
They do.
You
they
know?
Do. They actually do. They do leave there and do go home. I know for me, it was really hard because, you know, to have real friends, If you could really say you have a real friend in L.A., then you know you've really made a headway on something. Because really, seriously, it's really hard. But you know what? It's really funny. I have to tell you guys, most of my friends are all around the world. And, you know, my it's, you know, family and stuff like that. You know, I want to give a shout-out to my mom. I hope she's listening today. She had a little boo-boo happened with her wrist, and I was worried about that, but I hope she's enjoying the show. And is your family still in New Orleans, like your mom and dad, or are they still
alive?
They're
all in Lafayette. Actually, my father passed away this March, just a few months ago. He was 84 years old, died at home.
Wow.
I was out there. And my mom's still in Lafayette. She has the onsets of dementia. But by the grace of God, we got 9 kids still living in Lafayette. So we all take turns. She's still at home. And we all take a day to go basically be with her. So,
yeah, no. That's
my
important.
Dad.
Yeah, no. That's super important. And for those of you that are tuning in late, this is Red Velvet Media Blog Talk Radio. And my guest today is John Perrette. And he is known as the Monkey Man and also a very big humanitarian, I believe, that about you. And if you missed the beginning of the show will be available as a podcast afterwards on iTunes, under Red Velvet Media, and on Blog Talk Radio. It will be a featured show. And you know what I wanted to say to you before we go? And I'm going to play another song that John asked me to play, which is a cool song by the Bare Naked Ladies. If you wanted to send a message, I have 2 questions for you.
All right, go ahead.
One, personally, this is one before we end the show. I'm not even going to say we're ending the show right now. This is one because this may lead into something else. 2 things. What are you currently working on right now?
Let's see. Currently, as we speak, I'm doing what I call Mardi Gras Monkeys, and it's basically the busts of Hear No Evil, See No Evil, Speak No Evil with like a candy apple red background and a real, real bright Louisiana Mardi Gras costumes.
Oh, cool. That'll be neat.
Yeah.
Mardi Gras must be fun, you know.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I've heard. My second question to you would be, if you could paint a picture for anyone in the world living alive today, who would it be and why?
Off the top of my head, it'd probably be Bob Dylan, because I know he's an artist and I'd love to trade a painting. He's probably my favorite musician, and I've seen him live a million times, but I've never met him. And I just think it would be really cool. You know, everybody has I don't want to say rock and roll fantasy, but, you know, everybody has their favorite musician or artist. And, I mean, he's been very influential, I think, to me from the time I was probably 12 years old. So, I mean, and now he's getting old, you know, and I just think it would be interesting to be able to sit and talk to him and pick his brain and trade art with him. And you know, I never thought that would ever be possible. But I see now, I used to call him a recluse, but now I see he's coming out and doing more public things. You know, I see him on TV now doing things that you would have never seen him in a million years doing 15 or 20 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We might be able to make that possible. Maybe,
yeah, well,
you know. We'll work on it.
Everything happens for a reason, but
you have no idea.
Cool,
I mean,
I won't
my listening.
On that one.
Yeah, my listening audience is quite... Oh, wait, somebody's calling on 973. I wonder who this is. Oh, maybe it's... let me see. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this?
Robert in yellow.
Hi, Robert. How are
Holly.
You?
I'm doing great.
Robert,
this popped up
I
on my email
meet...
that you were doing a show.
Yeah. Robert, this is John. John's an artist. Robert is a wonderful person, too. And I met Robert... Anyway, you and John have a lot in common. You two should
Robert,
talk.
How you doing?
Hey, John, what's happening, man?
All right. Love and life, sweating it down here in South Louisiana.
Oh, sorry. We're kind of sweating it up here in New York, but last week was brutal. It was 104.
Oh, God.
Yeah, yeah. So what's
Robert,
going on? What are you guys talking
about?
Tell me what you do. Okay. It turns out that my website just went up, called bandofinnocence.com. That's my dog playing with a chewy toy. Okay,
yeah,
Jack,
I hear the dog.
Good boy. So it's bandofinnocence.com. No, not Band of Innocence.
Mm-hmm.
It's onthelamproductions.com.
Uh-huh.
So what I do, and then I'll tell John, what I'm doing is
yeah.
I've written four projects going now. I have Band of Innocence, which is a graphic novel that's being turned into a novel. I'm almost completed with the novel part. It's about seven kids with an innocence so pure that they are granted powers by the gods of the earth who created the earth to protect the world. It's based on innocence, compassion, teamwork. If you join, you get a newsletter. Now we're coming out at the end of July with a comic book series called Fireman, who's a superhero dedicated to my cousin Joey, who died in 9/11.
Oh, wow.
And to all the other firefighters who I think are just insane, amazing people who will risk their lives to save people in burning buildings. I think it's just madness on their part. So
mm-hmm.
every issue of this comic will have 4 to 5 firefighters who have lost their lives in the last year. Actually, there was a guy, I think it was in Louisiana, who died, a volunteer firefighter who died, I think, in March. He may be on the back of the first issue. Now we're also coming out with a children's book between the ages of 3 and 7 called The Glimmers.
See how everything works, Holly?
Yeah.
And The Glimmers.
Well, Robert's a sweetheart. And Robert, hey, do you have a tie to Bob Dylan? I know one of my listeners do because, I mean, you know, the people that are in my circle. Yeah.
Right. I don't think I have a tie to – I mean, I've worked – with people who have worked with him on the road, musicians, because I toured for such
done
a long
the same.
Time.
That's as close as I've gotten.
You know?
We got to make it happen. Maybe May does. Maybe May or Nancy or somebody has a tie to Bob. Because I knew Bob Dylan. I used to go to, I had gone to his house once or twice when I was in L.A., when David was playing.
Long,
and,
but he doesn't have it anymore.
Yeah.
So what are you looking to do with Bob?
Who, me? I just want to trade him a painting.
Oh, I got you.
You're kind of coming in on the end of the conversation. But
yeah, I know.
Well,
you know,
anybody,
I feel really bad. I'm sorry.
That I would
no.
painting for, who would it be? And that just popped in my head because I've loved him since I was 12 years old, and I know he's an artist also, and I thought it'd be super cool to trade paintings.
Right. Well, you know what? As I was telling you what I'm doing, this Glimmer thing is really cool for kids. But I'm going to get to the last thing, which may actually help you, John. I'm not really sure. But the Glimmer thing is 3 to 7 years old, and it's about little beings of light called glimmers that when you tell a truth, a glimmer is born. If you tell a lie, they become dimmers. You can always make the dimmers back into glimmers. They're little glowing creatures.
That's cool.
The first book is going to come out about a little glimmer called Ruby Shrew, who's a glimmer of truth, because there are glimmers of hope, there are glimmers of love, there are glimmers
wow.
of joy. So it's going to be a massive mass marketing of children's toys that's just a really good feel, positive message. Now, the other thing I'm doing is, I'm doing a radio show, just like
uh-huh.
you're doing,
yeah.
for Boomer Life Media.
Oh, wow.
And they have a radio station that's out now that's getting
mm-hmm.
like 5,000, 10,000 hits. It's just insane.
Uh-huh.
And they're playing all Boomer music, like really good stuff, really like not like Humble Pie.
Uh-huh, yeah, the old stuff.
And
I like it.
I came up with an idea to interview musicians that I know.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the musicians I'm interviewing in the next couple of weeks, first I'm going to start off with myself. We're going to interview myself, see how that goes. If I walk out, then I won't do the show anymore. But Elliot Randall is a friend of mine, and I don't know if he has ties. Now, he's played with Steely Dan and stuff, so I don't know if he has any inroads to the Bob Dylan people, but we can find that out on the show.
Yeah, you know? No, and you know what? I just got an offer to go to Satellite, but I'm just looking at it, and that's why I have to go to New York. So I may be hooking up with you while I go to New York. Yeah, I want to head to the Morrison Gallery and stuff. You know, we were talking earlier, you know, John is in New Orleans, and he was talking about Katrina and how he helped a lot of people in the Katrina and what he did, and then also the whole reasoning behind his three wise monkeys that he does is hear no evil, speak no evil, do no evil.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it hear, speak?
Hear, speak, see.
See.
Hear, speak, see, yeah. So that goes along with, like, your beings of light, you know, little
characters. Oh, yeah, it's perfect. It's perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, we really think the glimmer thing is going to be huge because there used to be a toy called glow worms that little kids had.
Yeah,
and
I remember
they glow. Well, that's what these glimmers are going to look. They're the most adorable. If you go to Facebook, I think you could see Ruby Shrew, the Glimmer of Truth, on my Facebook page.
Oh,
they're the most
cool.
adorable little creatures. And the story is just great. It's very positive for kids, teaching them that to tell the truth.
Oh,
it's just
like
an awesome thing.
Awesome.
That's yeah,
so awesome.
I'm really excited about it.
I want to book you for a show. What we should do is talk afterwards. I'm going to write your number down really quick. And I'll call you after the show, and then we'll do a show with you about when you're coming out. When's your radio show starting?
What I'm going to do is prepackage them. So it's not going to be what my friend is going to do, which I'm a part of this radio boomer thing. He's once I package them, he's going to then put them up on the air. And it's Boomer Life Media is where you would go, and then you can get to the radio station through there.
Okay.
And
I'm going to call you. Yeah, I'm going to call you
after
the
show.
Yeah, definitely
do that. There's a lot of stuff going on. A lot of stuff.
Yeah, I would love to talk to you. I'm so glad you called because Robert and John, you two should get to know each other. I have just so you know, John, I've interviewed a lot of artists and a lot of photographers, and you are one that I wanted on my show because I just first of all love your art, and second of all, you're a good friend, and third of all, I wanted to
fill in
this touch spot. With you. What? Oh, wait, we got another call. Hold on, let's see who this is. There's another call coming in. Hold on a minute, let's see who this is. 623, you're on the air. Who's this?
623.
Hello. I can't hear you. Hello.
I was just calling in to listen.
Oh, okay. I'll put you back on hold. No problem. Thank you. Yeah, see, a lot of people, what they do is they call in just to listen to the show because what they can do is a lot of times people are at work and they just want to listen.
That's great.
I said, John, there's a lot of people that listen, and there's a lot of people that are listening that probably know Bob Dylan.
Well, that's
cool.
I appreciate everything. I appreciate you calling. I appreciate you inviting me on your show. I had a good time.
No. And, Robert, I'm going to call you afterwards, but you know what? I'm glad you two got together, and you should exchange information because –
Well, John, Facebook me.
Okay.
He's not on Facebook. I have to make him a Facebook. You know, that sucks.
I got a website and I got an email address. What else is there?
Yeah,
if I don't want to
hey,
tomorrow,
hey, John.
Spend
John.
More time at the computer than I will at the easel.
Okay, John, then email me at onthelamb@mac.com.
onthelamb@mac.com. I got it written down already for On the Lamb Productions. So.
Okay, On the Lamb Productions, you can get to me that way and email me and definitely keep in touch.
Okay, man, good talking to you.
You too, ma'am.
Hey, Robert, I'm going to call you after the show. Let's book
you
because now I didn't know you had all this other new stuff going on. So,
there's just so much stuff going on. It's insane.
We're very happy here. I'm so proud of you. That's great. Thank you for calling.
All right, Holly. Talk to you later.
Have a good day.
See you,
and I'll
John.
Call you
bye,
in a little
bit.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. So, John, yeah, see, I have a very eclectic group of friends.
Well, I know. I'm
like
one of them.
Like I said, I have a lot of ties with the John Lennon group and a lot of ties with people and a lot of other musicians and stuff like that. Like, we've had the Ramones on here. For anybody that wants to listen to any of the old shows that I've done, just go to iTunes and go to the iTunes page. View it in iTunes, and you'll see all the different shows. We've had Monty Melnick on. We've had the Ramones on. We've had Secret Callers, Johnny Depp calling in one day. Just all sorts of really amazing shows and really cool people. And you, yourself, being on the show is so cool.
Well, thank you, Shaq.
No. And I was hoping Stephen would call in, but I guess he just didn't get the message. But before we go, what I'd like to ask you is, what message would you like to leave our listeners with?
Peace.
Yeah.
End of message.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's what I would like in everyone's heart, mind, and soul.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that I do. I mean, you know, people ask me why I decided to create a radio show, and that's because I have so many people like yourself and musicians and book authors and this and that that are friends that just wanted a place to come to talk, to hang out, talk about what they're doing, get the word out there. And it's just been, you know, it's snowballed. Basically, you know, I've had people come out of the woodwork that I actually did a really cool interview with this guy named John Tillery, who wrote a book about John Lennon, but it was a book written about him in a spiritual sense, not how he lived his life as a rock and roll star, but
right.
how he lived his life as a spiritual person.
Right.
And it was really, really interesting show. And that man is just an amazing person, you know. And I, like I said, I've got a whole huge network in New York. And had Nancy Lee Andrews on the show the other day, and she was with Ringo Starr for like 6 years, and she's doing a new book on Ringo and photography and stuff. So yeah, and then you know, like I said, I've got like a lot of galleries. So when you're ready to show your art and put it in a gallery, I've got galleries to put your art in.
Cool deal. I'll stay in touch with you, Holly. I really appreciate what you've done today, and I'm proud of you for putting all this, putting your radio show together. It's done a lot since I've talked to you.
I know. I have, yeah. I have. There's a lot of really good things that have happened, a lot of really good things. And, you know, really, really this show is also to bring about the spirituality and the awareness of everything that's going on in the world for everybody. Because
good
a lot
deal.
Of people really
don't
know.
I don't mean
yeah.
to cut you short, but I'm getting ready to
I'm
going to
let you go.
Appointment.
Yeah, yeah,
just
yeah. No, because we went over time. Listen, anyway, make sure, guys, tune in Friday. I have Zoe Moon, my house astrologer. And with that, John, I'm going to end the show. And you have a beautiful day.
Thanks, Holly. You too. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
All of them coming anonymously, so they leave no trail. Never thought I'd have an admirer from overseas, but some of the enemy stationary filled with chimpanzees. Some chimps in swimsuits, some chimps are swinging from a vine, some chimps in jack boots, some chimps that wish they could be my Sarsky and Hutch chimps. A chimp who's sitting on the can, a pair of Dutch chimps who send their love from Amsterdam.
Another one.
Chimpanzee, and everyone is set to be.
look at me shuffling through the sack until I finally find some chimps in swimsuits, some chimps in jack boots, some chimps in hard hats, some chimps who love cats. I got some shaved chimps, that chimps devoid of any hair. I got depraved chimps dressed up in the women's underwear.
And now the folks time.
Dressed to me.